Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Hello, I'm good. It is good to be here. I'm so glad you have us. Thank you very much.
Oh, and it is my pleasure that you have graced the show with your presence. I've done better than that. Anyhow, speaking of better, Jeff Butts, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing just wonderful. How are you?
See, now, what's the deal with me not being able to do an accent today when you guys can?
I don't know. I'm just saying we're cooler, man. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's it. So I'm really glad that I get to hang out with the cool people. Also cool, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is iMazing, which is the really great Mac app for accessing all the stuff that's on your iOS devices. So that's really cool. But first, I want to talk about Apple Music. And Brian, there's so many people that just bag on Apple Music and Apple's music services in general. Yet yesterday, you explained why you think Apple Music is kind of nailing it.
So let's actually start with the pushback. My buddy John Keat, very first thing he said was that people whose music libraries were messed up in the early days might disagree with me. LOL.
Isn't that an iTunes problem?
Yeah, that's
though?
Fine. That was an iTunes problem, but there were some problems with Apple Music too, though. So that's not the kind of execution I'm talking about. And the reality is that Apple fixed that stuff, and it's in the past. And the people that remembered are the people to whom the very few people to whom it happened. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of people don't know, don't care. And Apple is signing up new subscribers by the millions. It's becoming a cultural force. I think it's helping a lot of people into the ecosystem. And when Spotify announced that they were copying Carpool Karaoke, which is fine, by the way, the TV industry works by shows copying each other. By the way, did you see the BBC's announcement that they're going to do a TV show version of a book, and I forget the name of it. It was written in 1978, where the Nazis won World War II, set in London. Ooh. And it's not Man in the High Castle, because that's Philip K. Dick book, our story, written in 1962.
Right, and that's on Amazon Prime.
This is the way the TV industry works. Ideas and in the movie industry too, right? You know, you always get like, it seems like there's always like, you know, like two different movies from two different competing studios that are essentially the same idea. And the TV industry works the same way. I don't have a problem with Spotify. I'm not dinging Spotify for copying Apple. The thing I think is interesting about they call it traffic jam. Mm-hmm. The thing I find interesting about traffic jam on Spotify is that it validates Apple's decision to use original programming as a lock-in for Apple Music. And you look at all these different metrics and Apple is just executing the Apple Music strategy almost perfectly. And on top of that, we're talking about a transition from the world's biggest online music store to a completely different business model. And Apple has made that seamless for most people. And then the other little bitty news was that sort of fed into this for me was Apple Insider reporting that Apple's going to have a Beats One studio of some sort, Beats One Space. I assume it's going to be a studio inside the Fifth Avenue Apple Store, or Apple Fifth Avenue, as it's bizarrely called these days. And I think that's a fantastic move too. That it's just going to give Beats One Radio more visibility. I mean, it's just Apple just seems to be doing almost everything right when it comes to Apple Music.
And that's what you're referring to when you talked about their excellent execution, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So now I'm assuming, since John Keat thinks that you are flat out wrong, and
actually he agrees with most of the article except for a laundry list of things where I was wrong.
So what he's saying is you were totally right except for every place where you were wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And since he loves to share his laundry list of complaints, would I be correct in assuming you'll be talking about this or debating this on Pop.0 this week?
Yeah. I assume he's going to yell at me.
Okay.
So that'll be on Thursday. People can tune into that live.
Oh,
if we're going to plug it, let's just plug this baby.
Plug it right.
We do a live stream through Hangouts on YouTube. I always tweet the link to that at TM O'Brien, and you can join in and yell at us while we're yelling at each other through the Hangouts chat.
That's great. So you've taken your debates with John and turned them into a community thing.
Yes, you're welcome, people.
That's called sharing the joy.
Exactly.
Now,
it's
Jeff,
a geek room brawl.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff, you've been kind of quiet because Brian's been explaining or presenting his case. Do you think he's right, or are you ready to give him a dressing down?
No, I think he's right. I am a subscriber to Apple Music, a paid subscriber, and you know, the new music app on iOS is, I wish they would port that to macOS and let us have the full Apple Music experience on our Macs the way we get it on our iPhones, because it's just done right. Everything I want to find is right there. I didn't run into any problems with losing my library when I switched over to Apple Music. So everything went smoothly for me.
Yeah, it went smoothly for me as well. And prior to using Apple Music, I had tried Pandora, Spotify, Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. There was another one that was a thing for a while. And
eMusic.
Maybe it was eMusic, but whatever it was.
Did you try iHeartRadio?
No, I never did try iHeartRadio. But anyhow, so I tried all the services and just couldn't see any value in paying for a subscription. I remember it was when Napster came out with their legit streaming service. I tried that for a little while, too.
That was a waste of time.
Yeah, that was about 20 minutes of my life I'll never get back. But
yeah.
I couldn't justify paying for any of these services. And then Apple Music comes out, and I tried the 3-month free trial, which I think is just a brilliant move on Apple's part. At the end of the 3 months, I was hooked, and I pay for Apple Music. So yep. It's the first streaming service that I've actually subscribed to.
What I find interesting, yeah. What I find interesting is just recently, Jay-Z pulling his content from Apple Music and Spotify, and then within a matter of hours, putting it back on Apple Music, but leaving Spotify out in the cold.
Yeah,
for now.
For now, my
for
guess
now,
is
sure.
Yeah, my guess is there was some backroom discussion going on, and. And Jay-Z did that as part of his maneuvering to get whatever he wanted.
Sure.
And he got whatever worked out from Apple Music, but Spotify has held out. That's my guess.
But see, management of the artists is a part of what makes a streaming music service successful or not successful. if they can keep the popular content for the majority of the time, they're going to be more successful.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you say that. It's not like there've been plenty of services that have come and gone that did have. To your point, you can't. In addition to having to get everything else right, you also have to keep the artists happy, especially the artists who actually have control over their catalogs, like Jay-Z. Yep. And it was only some Jay. It was the music that Jay-Z controls of Jay-Z's that was pulled.
Right.
For instance. Right.
And now, Jeff, I was assuming that's what you meant. That was just one of the many components, and without that, you've got a serious problem with your music service.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts, and that's one of the most important.
All right. So, listeners, I'm curious, what do you think? Is Brian right? And did Apple get it right with Apple Music, or is he wrong? And are you relishing to see how John Keat flays him on Thursday? Let me know. Sometimes I make myself laugh. Let me know. You can shoot me messages on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can send me emails. That's observations@macobserver.com. And you can also leave comments in the show notes, and I'm curious to hear what you guys think. So let me know. And hey, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is iMazing. And iMazing is one of those apps that I wish Apple had created, but since they didn't, I'm glad that DigiDNA came along and made it happen anyhow. So iMazing is the app that I had always wanted to be able to manage content on my iPhone and iPad. And what this app does is it lets me get at everything on my devices. So like if I have conversations that I want to save and just keep them out and separate, I can do that with iMazing. If I have voice messages that I want to save and just like really make sure they don't get lost, I can do that too. I can copy those off and then save them as audio files and back them up in my own backup routine. And they've added in the ability with version 2.2 so that you can manage your EPUB and PDF content for iBooks. Also, it lets you install different iOS versions and does DFU handling. So I thought that was like really nice because there's a lot of people that have multiple versions of iOS tucked away and maybe you need to roll back to a different version. Okay, well, now you have a tool that lets you manage all those iOS installs. It's a great little tool and wonderfully handy, and I can't imagine not having iMazing on my Mac. So I'd love for you guys to check it out. And to do that, head over to the iMazing website, imazing.com/TDO, imazing.com/TDO. When you're there, you can learn more about the app. You can also download a trial version for free. And when you realize how awesome it is, you can buy it through that link for 20% off. And that's really nice. That applies to the individual license and to the family licenses as well. So go check it out. iMazing version 2.2 is the one that adds in the EPUB and PDF management. So that's out and ready for you to use right now. iMazing.com/TDO. And thank you to iMazing for being our sponsor. Okay.
You forgot again. iMazing is amazing.
Oh, man. They totally need to license that from you.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the Windows users that might be listening, iMazing is also available for Windows.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thanks for reminding me.
Yep.
And reminding all the listeners. Okay, so the other thing that I want to talk about today is a company called Dialog Semiconductor. And this is a company based out of Germany. And what they do is make these things that are called PMIC, which is Power Management Integrated Circuits. In normal people speak, these are the chips that manage the power consumption through the batteries in our iPhones. And Dialog, they make the chips that Apple is using in the iPhone. Well, it turns out that Apple may be planning on dropping Dialog Semiconductor as a supplier within the next couple years, 2 or 3 years, and going with their own custom chip design. And apparently they've been hiring away Dialog Semiconductor's engineers. And so assuming that this report is true, because Apple and Dialog haven't confirmed it yet, this would mean that Dialog could lose up to 70% of their business, because that's about what Apple amounts to right now for them. Mm-hmm. I find this interesting because it sounds like I'm just repeating what's going on with Apple and Imagination, Imagination Technologies, which is another company that Apple has been partnering with for chips. In this case, the mobile GPUs that we see in the iPhone, and Apple's dropping them, and they've been hiring away their employees, and it's. I'm finding it very interesting to see the similarities between this two, and I'm curious, what do you guys think about this?
I think it's a throwback. It's a reminder that when Apple decides it's ready, it definitely makes moves to handle more of its own design and manufacturing work. Like when they started making or designing and having Samsung and others make the A8, A9, and A10 chips. Mm-hmm.
Brian, you're surprisingly quiet.
I'm just kind of smacked by the reality that Tim Cook is a ruthless mofo. he has this reputation of being too nice amongst people who are frustrated with Apple's pace of innovation or at least the pace of iteration. Mm-hmm. And dude's ruthless. I mean, here are companies that are supporting Apple and making it possible to do what Apple does, and Apple rewards them by hiring them into oblivion. It's brutal. It's legal. It's from a Apple shareholder standpoint, you probably want to support the idea of Apple taking more and more and more of its supply chain in house. Because of how good a job Apple does with that sort of thing. But it's just it's ruthless.
I think ruthless is probably a pretty good choice of words right there.
It's a good word for it, but what's wrong with that? What's wrong with being ruthless when it comes to business?
Well, some people will say nothing. And I say that if you want to do this to a company, reward it by buying it out.
And okay, so my guess is that when Apple started aggressively poaching from Imagination, they previously sat down and looked at what the costs were to buy the company, and they looked at all their options and looked at how the money fit in with all of those. And when everything was said and done, they decided that it would cost less and be more efficient for them just to bleed the company dry of talent and deal with whatever lawsuits came along later. And so that's the path they took.
For sure. And like I said, a lot of people will be totally cool with that. And that's fine. I like to see companies that are kicking butt for me rewarded with in some way and not shafted into oblivion. But reasonable people can absolutely and positively disagree.
Sure, and we're making an assumption that Apple didn't make an attempt to come to a fair agreement with
a dialogue.
Dialogue.
That's right. I've got your back.
You know, it's very possible that they tried to come up with a fair trade, a fair deal to buy out Dialogue, and Dialogue just decided to blow their own worth out of the water.
That's possible, Jeff. Or it's also possible the Dialogue is being Sherlocked. I'm sorry, Watson.
It's also possible. I mean, Apple did it to Tesla. Apple stole a lot of engineers from Tesla.
That's a little bit different. That's actually
didn't hurt Tesla. Didn't hurt Tesla. It's completely different. Dialogue doesn't. I mean, well, Dialogue.
Tesla wasn't an Apple supplier.
Apple, right? Tesla wasn't an Apple supplier. They were potentially a competitor, if we believe the hype that an Apple car is coming sometime soon, which I don't think I believe anymore. But Dialogue was a partner, and now Apple is stealing. And I use that word loosely, stealing its employees.
Poaching. And poaching. It's not theft. It's poaching.
Right. Poaching. And some might say that's unethical. I'll grant you that. Some people might say it's unethical.
Some people may. We're out of time, but there's just one more question I want to ask. And here it is. Do you think that Apple's big debacle with Sapphire glass production has played a role in Apple taking this approach to getting what it wants? And what I'm referring to is, was it GTI? Was that the name of the company that Apple partnered?
GTX. Advanced Technologies.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. GT Advanced Technologies.
GT Advanced Technologies. There we go.
GTAT. Yeah.
So GTAT, Apple partnered with them. Apple bought a factory for them to use. Apple did all of these things that at least on the surface looked like they were really cool moves to help this company out. In the end, the whole thing fell apart, and Apple didn't get the Sapphire it needed, and GTAT, I think they ended up in bankruptcy, and it was just a mess.
I ended up buying $40 worth of their worthless stock that became worth $0. $40 I will never see again.
You, that's never going to get back to the point where you can even buy a coffee.
No. That stock has actually been like it no longer exists.
Delisted.
It was they were delisted, but then they ended up basically doing a company restructuring that shafted
everyone
over the counter investors for the sake of some large investors. But anyway, that's not really the point. I would assume that everything that happened with GT Advanced Technologies is there were lessons learned by Apple from that for sure.
Yeah. All right. Hey, like I said, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Brian, thank you for being here today.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
It's always great. And Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Not a problem. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Yep. I love having both of you on. Also, thanks to iMazing2 for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, iMazing.com/TDO, and you can download the trial version, test it out, and I have a feeling you're going to want to buy it. So you get 20% off. Just go back to that same link, iMazing.com/TDO. Get your discount. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.